I got you in the palm of my hand. Wanna put something hot in you. So hot that you can't stand.
That you can't stand.
Gonna take you to my lips. Empty out every last drop. So thirsty for what's in you, baby, that I can't stop.
That I can't stop.
In the middle of the night, I'm in bed alone. Don't care if your glass, paper, styrofoam. When I need some water, baby, coffee or gin. You're the only thing I wanna put them in. My cup, saying what's up to my cup.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, John.
Where did you go there, Ed?
I was almost going to say good morning, Ed, because it's technically the next day for you.
Well, I mean, it's 1:14 a.m. That is the night is young.
You're a machine. I would be dead on my feet right now.
Yes, we are recording.
Well, I also slept at 4 to 7, so I mean, it's not like I'm that pathetic.
You said you slept from 4 to 7 in the morning.
I far from pathetic, Ed. I'm envious of your energy. That's all.
Yeah, totally. Well, welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We are Josh and Ed. We are back to discuss the season finale of season 2, which is pretty exciting, entitled New York. And they finally made it to Nationals, and we got to see what happened. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we say tonight, you can find us on email at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. We got a website, which is gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter, gleefulpodcast, and on Facebook. Jennifer.
Joshua.
What did you think of the arrival to Nationals? What was your temperature on the episode, Jennifer?
You know, I enjoyed the group. I enjoyed the camaraderie. As far as a season finale goes, I didn't really feel like it delivered.
Ed?
Are you looking at me?
I felt like the build up to the Nationals performances, the National performances themselves and all that was a letdown. But everything post-national performances was the highlight of the episode. So it wasn't magical.
I think,
it should have been. All the elements were there. It should have been magical.
You're exactly right. That's exactly 100% how I feel about it, Ed. It was a fun episode. There was some good stuff. It was enjoyable, but it wasn't magical, and it should have been. We finally made it to Nationals. We finally made it to New York. We had original songs, which were so much fun last time. It was lacking some kind. It was lacking that X factor. TM. It was lacking the magic and it didn't quite hold together. I mean, there were so many songs in this episode. It's crazy when you download the tracks off of iTunes, like they're still downloading. That's why Ed sounds so bad right now, and he'll sound better in a couple minutes. Because seriously, there were so many songs in this episode. It was just a bit much, and they didn't quite hold together. It all felt a little slapped on. I don't know. It didn't work for me.
There was no crazy drama or turmoil or conflict. I mean, there were like little glimpses of it, but nothing that you ever really cared about or thought would amount to anything. And I was still waiting for, you know, the wrath of Quinn. All we got was a haircut.
Exactly.
That nobody
what the
acknowledged.
Heck? I thought the crap was going to get real with Quinn. And
oh,
we got
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah, hell hath no fury. And I just was waiting for something. Ed,
you must have been disappointed
because you love Crazy Quinn.
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
Really?
That's all I can say. I mean, what were you expecting? What, like, she has not done much this season to prove that she was going to do something crazy. Like, we were all talking about it. I was like, is she going to dramatic, like, I don't know. as Santana said, I think it was Santana, that everyone, like, every time you're, every week it's like you're threatening to quit, you break up, and you...
I know, it was so true.
Yeah, something happens every week.
Like, all doesn't matter in the end. It all doesn't matter in the end.
Yeah. Brittany in another moment of clarity.
Typo A says, Jen, a good haircut saves the day yet again.
But you know, I have been thinking about chopping my hair off, so.
I think that was kind of the problem I had with the episode, is that it felt like there was 90 minutes of plot packed into a 60-minute episode, and so everything got shortchanged. I mean, by the time when we got to the end and they didn't win at Nationals, which we didn't think they were going to win, but I thought they'd at least make the cut of the top 10. By the time we got to that point, by the way, spoiler alert, they didn't win Nationals.
I certainly hope if anybody's listening right now.
By the time we got to that point, it was like we'd been in a dead sprint all that way. The show never came up for oxygen, and it was, everything felt very protracted. I mean, there, it would be like three lines of dialogue and then a song, just enough to be an excuse
to
set up the song, and then we'd get a song, and it didn't really play. The bulk of the plot seemed to really hinge on the Rachel Finn reunion. And even that felt rushed and a little hokey to me.
And not even like there was any sort of, you know, tension or question. I mean, when he texted her to say, you know, let's meet and dress up, they both seemed very much comfortable as a couple. And like, they never once didn't seem like a couple, even even before that, when they were walking, I think, in the park, and Rachel said something about Quinn, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I went, oh, wait, she's still with Jesse, technically.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't see them break up.
But that was the thing with the whole Jesse situation, is Jesse needed to be there at the beginning. If we saw Jesse and Rachel together at the beginning, then when we saw Finn and Rachel together at the park, it would have felt like she was more torn. But because we never saw Jesse, I mean, you know, call me stupid, but I kind of forgot that she and Jesse were back together. I thought we were still in this gray area. Yeah. But just to have Jesse show up with them and then, like, kiss her on the cheek and be like, I'll see you later, and walk away, it would have immediately made us realize
that. I'm of the theory that this episode was 90 minutes, but they had to cut it because of the idol was pushed to Tuesday, and they couldn't deal with the news thing right afterwards. Mm. And the lowest rating of the season is still the Born This Way 90-minute episode.
Yeah.
So I bet they were... So between American Idol and the fact that that was the lowest episode, I bet this... Like, they talked about this episode being 90 minutes. I'm sure they wrote it as it was 90 minutes. They filmed it like it was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But then they edited it like it was an hour.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's too many... Like, we're talking 9 songs for 44 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that ratio is not proper.
Now, mind you, get songs like Matthew Morrison's Still Got Tonight, which they made a big deal about him performing. Which was just about his album plug. They made a big deal about it, but we really only got like a minute of that song.
Yeah.
So even though there were so many, but I mean, what was up with the crazy all-female choir singing I don't remember what that song's called.
Yeah, by Usher.
Yeah, the Usher song. Thank you. That was just like totally sandwiched into the middle. and incredibly annoying, too.
They had 50 choirs there. They couldn't get away with just showing Vocal Adrenaline and New Directions. They needed to show some other ones. They should have showed more. And you know what the biggest complaint I have about this? Is that we didn't meet the judges. The judges have always, always, always been a key part of these things. And the fact that we didn't get them at all...
Well, that's another really good point, Ed. Because we didn't meet the judges, we never got any justification for why they didn't win. Even in the past, when it didn't make sense that they didn't win, we got some kind of a reason. And Jesse's whole, like, you didn't win because the moment was too emotionally
intimate. It was too personal.
Intimate,
it was very self-indulgent.
And it put them off. Yeah. While I totally understand that argument, if the judges had that conversation, then it would have made sense. But so it kind of felt like a narrative cop-out where they just kind of went... Okay, they didn't win. And we're not going to tell you why. And I know that's kind of how it goes in real life, but I don't know. Like, in a television show, yeah, like, if someone tripped, missed the big last note.
We've been given this four times justification.
Yeah.
Even if it was flimsy or not. The fact is, they did, like, we expected justification, and they didn't deliver.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm angry. I'm not really angry. I'm sad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, because of there was no drama at all to it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, when they were walking over to look at the sign to see, you know, where they ranked, I looked at the clock and I'm like, oh, it's 9:52. Well, there's only 8 minutes left. There's no way they made the top 10.
Obviously didn't make the top 10.
Like, I know, exactly. That's like I was sitting with my friends, Katie and Hannah, and I was like, and Katie's like, I hope they made the top 10. I'm like, there's no way
there's no way.
You realize this.
Well, you know, we're 10.5 minutes into the show, and we've yet to say a good thing about the episode.
We said good things.
So let's take a minute. We'll listen to a song. We'll come back and we'll say some things that we liked about the episode. But there's a ton of songs. We won't be able to play them all. I think we should definitely play the originals. So here is our big Finn and Rachel duet, Lea Michele. Yeah.
I cannot handle the song. I mean, you could play it. I mean, but the melody is seriously two notes, and it made me so angry.
here is pretending that supposedly was written by Finn. Yeah.
That's just because I'm not okay. But I hold on. I stay strong. Wondering. Still belong. Will we ever say the words we're feeling? Reach down underneath and tear down other walls. Will we ever have a happy ending? Or will we forever only be pretending? Will we
So there's a debate going on in the chat room right now about how they could afford the hotel they stayed in New York.
That's what I said.
They got the money from Sandy Ryerson.
The Intercontinental.
Kiss for Kate says, Terry pretended to find rat feces in the hotel bathroom and got
nice.
Free rooms.
Oh, but I loved how when he, you know, he's checking in, he's like, I don't know, I thought I'd do it girls and guys. And she's like, are you at the Glee?
Yeah, most of them do it by sexual orientation.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you know, there were some really bright moments of the episode. I do think that I do think that My Cup was a lot of fun, and it was better than any. It was better than Trouty Mouth to me.
No,
it was better than Big Ass Heart.
Trouty Mouth is fierce.
Okay, I don't think it was as good as Trouty Mouth, but I do think it was better than Big Ass Heart.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It was just so much fun to see Artie and Brittany. I mean, and also to like see Brittany sing. As herself, not Britney Spears.
Yes.
To
yeah,
sing as
or
Britney
Kesha
S. Pierce.
When she did her like
oh, that's
Kesha
true.
Impersonation.
Yes, she did do Kesha.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Jennifer, do you have something in this episode that you thought was good?
Actually, there were a bunch of things that really I got kind of very dorkily excited about, like when Kurt and Rachel went on their little field trip. I really liked that. I thought that was very sweet. And, you know, seeing them on the stage at the Gershwin,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Wicked stage, I thought that was great. There were a lot of one-liners. Unfortunately, again, we did just watch it. It's the first time we've ever just watched it and recorded, because we usually have a few days to process and take
yeah,
notes.
Yeah, to watch it a couple times.
Yeah, there were a lot of goodness. I mean, I think the other thing that I really liked was just seeing all the kids kind of relate to one another, like seeing them hanging out in the hotel rooms mm-hmm. and just, you know, being themselves. And I thought that was a lot of fun. I like the top of my head.
I like this number. I didn't love the song. There's like this staccato part in the middle that I thought was kind of annoying, but I liked this number, and I liked the next number too.
I like the second one better.
Those two
this
things
one.
Were cool, and you know a lot of the dancing and stuff. Like this was the most, and I'm actually gonna preface by saying this isn't a compliment. This was probably the most musical theater of an episode I think we've ever gotten. A lot of these songs, at least for the first half, Matthew Morrison's song, the
that
I
New
Love
York
New York song,
song
yeah, were song. Very That's musical right. theater, like not within the context of the of a performance, mm-hmm. as the songs in Glee tend to be. So it set this kind of interesting tone right off the bat that the first couple songs we got were the first couple big numbers we got were very fanciful. And that was kind of interesting. It didn't really work for me because that doesn't feel like Glee as much. It's only by exception do they do a song like that. So but then when we got into these performances, like the last two, I actually quite liked that. And I liked getting back. And, you know, when they're on a stage and it's a big production number and it feels very like you're in the audience, I really like those moments, and mm-hmm. we usually get those at the sectionals and the regionals, so I thought that was cool. Ed, did you have something about this episode that you really liked?
I think you're right. I think Glee succeeds because it's a musical that makes sense most of the time. It's a fantasy, but I mean,
yeah,
with the band, but I mean, but when they're performing, most of the time it kind of makes sense.
It's a musical, yeah, it's a musical within the context of performance. Like no one ever is walking down the street and just breaks out into song except for tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish the episode was the length that it needed to be. I know that Jen watches Parks and Recreation's Little Sebastian, but
yes.
They post on the next day on Parks and Recreation the producer's cut of the episode, yeah. on Hulu, and it would be really nice if they would do that for Glee. Especially for this episode, because I know there's more footage. I know it would make sense with more footage, so please just give it to us.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, the only reaction to the entire trip to New York was, you know, Santana's outburst, which was awesome. But I felt that, like, nobody was really stressed about it going into it. Nobody was stressed or could care less about it coming out of it.
Well, I kind of liked the reaction, actually. I mean, for me, when if it had been all of them just, like, really sad and depressed after Nationals, after losing, I think that would have been a really downer way to go into the break. I mean, that said, I think it was a little clean and tidy the way it ended up.
Oh yeah, they all go back into the Glee choir room for one last time, and you know, Quinn is high-fiving Finn and Rachel. I'm like, really?
Yeah, it definitely felt it felt way too tidy. But I mean, it's one thing to be tidy, and it's another thing to go into the break between seasons with a cliffhanger. I would have liked to see a cliffhanger. But yeah, I mean, to have them come back and just be bummed out, I think would be kind of sad. And I really liked Brittany's speech that this season was about acceptance.
Yeah.
And that people found acceptance, at least some degree of it. And I like that aspect of it. But you're exactly right. Walking into the choir room at the end and seeing Quinn, like, high five Finn and, like, you know, be like, hey, join us. And then they all high five. I mean, where was our big finale number? Even in regionals, we got the big, like, my life would suck without you, right? I mean, when they lost regionals last season. I mean, we've always had a big, like, we finished a season on him hoisting a tiny tiny trophy. Like, what was that?
And the 12th place banner.
Yeah.
With him kind of walking sort of arm in arm with
Emma?
So yeah. Does that mean
kind of a half-hearted way?
Kind of mean he's back?
I watched the entire episode. So I still don't know if he's going to Broadway.
Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, okay, so he's back. So he's with her. So does that mean that, yeah, he, you know, like, why was he packing for 4 months?
Yeah. Ed, what do you think? Like, how did you feel about the very end when they lost Nationals and their reaction to that?
Like, back at the school.
I feel terrible because I remember seeing the banner of, like, I never saw anyone so excited, and then I think I switched over. Like, literally the last thing I remember is the banner, so either it was so nothing that I just didn't even check it or remember it, or like, I remember them getting 12th place. And then I switched over to the voice. Wow, I sound terrible. apparently it was so nothing that I can't even recall it. I will rewatch with critical eyes. I was gonna ask Josh. I talked about this a little bit before the show with the 20 people who were chilling with me earlier. That I wanted for next week, whenever you record, that I would like to do an episode on prom, funeral, and this episode, and just like really gauge how this season ended. And that's what I want to do next week.
Okay, cool. I mean, maybe next week we just take the whole time and kind of talk about the entire arc of the season, like where we started.
I want to focus on the end, because we can do that. I'm sorry. I feel so manipulative.
No. It's a good idea. It's a great idea.
Honestly, I'm with you because I'm thinking, you know, give us a week. Let us rewatch it again. I would even do another episode on the finale.
Yeah.
Well, but if we could listen to the other songs, we could have a better sense of the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes. Give it some time to process the entire progress and... transition of the entire season. I didn't feel either way. Yeah, I guess you guys put it right in the beginning. There was no magical moment.
But even people that who should have delivered, like Vocal Adrenaline, as people are saying in the chat right now, was boring. Bohemian Rhapsody was amazing.
Was stunning.
This was not amazing.
No.
Yeah, none of the songs. I mean, and as much as I enjoyed, you know, the original songs, none of the performances. I mean, even. Oh, what's her name? Charisse.
Yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah.
Carazon.
Carazon. Yeah, none of it really felt overwhelmingly special.
By the way, those sirens are not in your car.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we've been hearing distant sirens for a while. Yes. Here. I mean, honestly, I think one of the favorite performances, also because I know the song and I've been to that theater, was, you know, again, the duet between Kurt and Rachel. But that's just, you know, a geeky sentimental favorite to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it was a geeky sentimental favorite. It's a beautiful song. It does feel like they're going back to the well again. Like, they keep going back to Gypsy. They keep going back to Funny Girl. Now we're going back to Wicked again. But the problem I have with this song, and a couple of people have mentioned this in the chat as well, is they cut lyrics like crazy in that song and in crazy places so that like couplets no longer rhymed and the rhythm didn't play out. It was so distracting the way I'm trying to enjoy this moment. And then I couldn't quite feel like, are we committing to pushing Rachel and Kurt into the context and the lyrics of For Good, or are we just going to play this as like, hey, you know, it's a sweet song that kind of applies to their lives? I don't know. I wanted them to go one way or another and be like, this is what we're saying, that this song absolutely applies to them or doesn't. And it was hard to find. Yeah, it seemed like they weren't quite sure.
Honestly,
go ahead. Okay, there was only one real magical performance I felt in the entire episode, was the I Love New York, New York, New York. If there was one great performance, to me, that was it.
I agree that I thought the performance was great, but I thought the song was so dumb. It was just kind of goofy, this whole, like, you know, New York is a great city.
It was just so much, like... when I was with my friends Kenny and Hannah, they were not really into it, but I was like, you know, this is fun. They're having fun.
Yeah.
And it felt genuine. And I don't know. I was like, I could totally see myself rocking out to the song. And then I listened to it a few times on YouTube. So I did. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
You know, when I was watching it, I really enjoyed it. And I felt like it was kind of like an opening credits, musical montage thing, you know, that you might see like in a romantic comedy or something.
Actually, if it was the if they played that as the opening of the episode, that would have been badass.
Yeah,
That would have been. It should have been. You're right, because that was what they put in the promos. Like that's like they showed the fountain. They saw.
Yeah.
They're like. My friends were like, are they allowed? Are they allowed to be? By the way,
everyone listening and in the chat live right now, I want you to know that at 10:38 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Ed said I was right about something. Jennifer.
Just say you were right all the time, Josh.
He's a little insecure. Just indulge him, Ed. I'm sorry.
This is what happens when you get married. You wake up one day and I thought slowly over years of marriage, I would slowly lose the ability to be right. But you just wake up one day and you realize I'm not right anymore.
It's not my fault you gave up. Anyhow, I thought it was really a fun song. And I think because there were so many other songs and there was, you know, yeah, everything was just so jam-packed. I kind of forgot about it by the end of the show.
Yeah.
By the end of the episode. But it was totally fun. It was adorable seeing them all, you know, seeing Santana kind of hit on the cough on the bench.
Yeah, that was cute.
It was like a lot of really great moments in it.
Just didn't add up to anything.
It didn't. It was all so rushed. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. When you said before that we never had a moment to kind of breathe and absorb everything, it was just sort of like set up, sing, set up, sing, set up, sing.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to it. This is I Love New York / New York, New York. And here on the Gleeful Podcast. Like I told my grandpa I wouldn't miss on any. Los Angeles is for people who sleep. Gotta see the whole town right from yonders on down to the bay. Paris and London, oh baby you can't keep. Musically, I'm actually liking this more in the extended version than I did in the show. It was a very fun
moment. The show was so much fun. It was the true magical moment, and yeah. It would have been amazing as the opening. It's just like you just pan, and that's the opening. It's like I don't know. I felt like a lot of things were like when I was talking during the show. It's like they're wasting their time on this.
Yeah.
Right now. Wow, we have less than an hour to go. Really? They're wasting their time on this?
I mean,
absolutely.
We all know that, like, for 2 years, Ryan Murphy has gone to bed wrapping his arms around, you know, a small pink teddy bear and saying, someday I'll have Patti LuPone on my TV show. And so we all knew we were building up to this moment. And by the time it came, all I could think was, this is so much plot we could be using. Like, this is so much time we could be talking about actual things, you know? And I'm a total Patti LuPone geek. And I was all excited to see her there. To be on television, not on an episode of Law & Order. But at the same time, I was just disappointed that, like, this is time we could be spending on the plot. And I don't know. Yeah, it just seemed like a bit of a letdown. But so we had, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we had Finn and Rachel kind of reuniting in this episode. We got to bring them back as a couple. The much debated, it seems like on shows, so often the two main characters, the will they or won't they couple on the show, I think the audience just gets tired after a while. Like, you go back to, like, Dawson's Creek, like, Dawson and Joey. We will they or won't they for so long on that couple that by the time a decision was made, we just didn't care anymore.
Actually, there was just an article today I'm going to say on MSNBC.
The death that they want.
The death, right, because it's just going to be a foregone conclusion. They absolutely will, so why not just get to it?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that seems to be the way things go a little bit more on television. But, so, you know, what do we feel about Finn and Rachel finally, you know, getting together? Ed, I know where you're going to come down. Tell me.
I don't, what do you mean?
Tell me about, how do you feel about Finn and Rachel?
I think it shouldn't happen. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if that was the answer. I guess tell me what you expected me to say.
That's exactly what I expected
really
you to
feel,
say.
I feel like Rachel, I thought the whole point of the for good scene, if for nothing else, was for that for Rachel to realize that being with Finn is the wrong option. But alas, that apparently didn't get the point.
Jennifer, Finn, and Rachel at this point?
I mean, it was kind of weird because I expected there to be a little bit more of an effort on either of their parts. I mean, okay, clearly Rachel all season long has wanted Finn to break up with Quinn. So he finally does. And it's just sort of like an assumed thing, like, oh yeah, just meet me in the park, get all dressed up. And of course she does. So I was really surprised when she actually wouldn't kiss him. And then I was like, oh, yes, I remembered she's still technically with Jesse. But, again, it was just another case of there not being any drama. There not being any sort of, you know, tension or question or anything like that. It's just sort of a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, it should have been more clear. And I think Rachel, after this experience, should have been even stronger in her convictions that she needs to just focus on her and her career.
See, the problem is, though, is that I think that for Glee to walk off into the sunset. Oh, let's not talk about Glee. Let's just talk about Finn and Rachel. For Finn and Rachel, their characters to come full circle, they have to end up together. Like, that is Finn's journey as a character, is to go from a leader who only saw his value in the validation of sports and friends and being a bully into, you know, growing up into becoming a guy who recognizes the arts and to be a leader and to, you know, and then Rachel's the same way. Like, Rachel needs to come out of herself to be able to welcome another person who is not totally focused on fame and who sees things, you know, more from a human's eye view. And that is Rachel's journey as a character. So I think that for their characters to be proven, you know, true in the universe, they have to end up together. That said, the more that this show plays the get together breakup, plays the Ross and Rachel game, by the time we get to the finale of these two characters, we just want them to die. Or was that just me? But and Ross and Rachel.
In this room, it was you.
What I'm saying is that I don't think there's any other way for these two characters to end up. For her to end up with Puck is always going to feel token and silly. For her to end up with Jesse is going to be too expensive because they can't afford Jonathan Groff as a regular. And for her to end up with a new character is just going to feel kind of dumb. But if they're going to be a couple, they need to be a couple. They need to stay together and they need to stop playing this. We're going to break up whenever the writers need something to talk about.
They only broke up once.
It's been an entire season of them kind of like her wanting him and him wanting her and back and forth and back and forth.
But you remember high school, right?
I don't, but that's the thing. Like, I'm a 30 soon to be grown up man. And so I can watch a TV show about high school, but as soon as it feels too much like high school, then I'm going to lose interest in the show and going to, you know, want to watch other things.
Honestly, again, just like it didn't bother me last week was it last week prom? Oh my goodness. 2 weeks ago was prom.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
It didn't bother me 2 weeks ago at prom when, you know, Finn was, you know, getting all riled up and jealous of Jesse. It doesn't bother me now. I mean, I don't feel like it's a total back and forth. I just feel like you know, there might be a question of feelings, but, you know, now they're obviously back together again. And, you know, they've only had one breakup. I don't know. Does it seem too ridiculous and reboundy for you,
Ed?
Oh,
sorry. I'm staring at the mic like I'm talking.
Ed was
at
in
you.
The other room. He's like, "Wait, what are we talking about?"
No, I was listening.
I'm sorry. I was staring at the microphone, which meant I was talking to you.
Oh, duh. I should have saw that.
My bad.
I believe it's believable. It seems believable, but that doesn't mean I'm interested in it. Just because it's believable.
Okay,
so,
that's valid. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I believe that everything that Rachel and Finn are going through could be reasonable in the context and in high school, but I just don't care. Like, I love Rachel. There was a time that I loved Finn. The time is long since passed. So.
Well, and they can come back. I mean, those two characters have been so, like, so mistreated in this season. This season has not, we've not grown any depth with Rachel and Finn. We know exactly the same amount about them for being ostensibly the main characters of the show, as far as the kids go. We know the same amount about them this season as we did last time. Stuff has happened to them here and there. I mean, quite honestly, a lot of stuff has happened to Finn, but not a whole heck of a lot of stuff has happened to Rachel. She's barely shown up this season. But I don't feel like we've gotten any deeper understanding of them, and it doesn't feel like they've grown all that much. And so I think that that's what we would need to see. We need to see a return to these two characters if we're, you know, I mean, or the show needs to, or the show needs to move on and become more of a general ensemble where everyone's kind of equal.
Well, okay, Ed, what would make you love Finn again?
If he wasn't so indecisive and worked, like, Finn's best moments, I could say was the sectionals, the journey sectionals, where he brought everyone together, he made it happen, he threw aside his differences and made it happen. And Finn hasn't been, like, I felt like they, during the duets episode, that Rachel and Finn were a really good couple, and I thought that we were going to be able to sustain that for a long time. Of course, that didn't come true.
Right.
But if they want to, they need to have Finn and Rachel working as a unit to make the show, to make the Glee
team.
Club better.
Yeah.
Make the Glee Club, like, they are the team leaders. They need to show that they're team leaders. And as much as I was against the idea at one point of introducing new characters, I think it's almost a necessity at this point. Because if all Brad and Ryan can do is just keep love triangling and love trapezoiding us to death, bring in new characters and let them establish their love triangles and love trapezoids, so that way some people can find some happiness for a year.
I mean, you're absolutely right. We need new characters for love interests. And, you know, there's no question about that, because they can't keep, you know, circular friends dating and interdating until you need a flow chart to figure out how that ended up.
Okay. And, oh, wait, didn't one of the listeners create a flow chart for us?
She did, actually.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
By the way,
I need to put that on the website.
And it does need to be updated, because I apparently was wrong in my lack of observation that, you know, Sam and Mercedes were going to be something.
Absolutely. Sam and Sadie's definitely happened in this
How
episode.
How cute were they?
Let's talk a bit about Sam and Sadie's, but first we should play a song. I think, Ed, what was the name of the Vocal Adrenaline song? Is that As Long As You're There? Yes, absolutely. This is Sunshine Corazon, Cherise performing As Long As You're There with Vocal Adrenaline on the Gleeful Podcast.
All my life I've waited for the right moment to let you know. I don't wanna let you go.
In the chat room, somebody said Josh's Spanish is better than Santana's, which I am actually Mexican, so I don't know if she is. I'll have to look. So anyway,
Naya Rivera.
Yeah. So how do we feel about this song, Jennifer?
It's pretty, but every now and then it starts to remind me of a different song that I think I know. So it's kind of confusing.
That's my problem. I spent the entire song saying, oh, this is an original. Oh, wait, it's not.
It's not.
Wait, but no. And going back and forth. I also thought it was funny. The whole thing is that only New Directions does originals. And so I was very confused by this one.
Yeah, apparently not.
Ed, how did you feel about this one? Ed?
Oh! I thought it was. I keep cutting in and out. I'm not sure if I'm there.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're still here.
Hello. I can hear you.
Oh, wait, I'm here.
Yes,
like,
you're
my
here.
Screen is going.
Oh, really?
Bonkers.
Oh.
Yeah, I need a new computer. Despierta, for real. Which I think means like to get up, but whatever. I thought it was just boring. Honestly, like. It was just generic, non-threatening ballad.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the difference between ninth and first place.
It's very prom.
So
it is, and there's just no comparison between this and Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, in any way, the dance number, the pageantry of it.
I didn't even realize it was an original song because it feels so much like so many other songs.
Exactly.
Now I seem terrible, but I really thought it was this is some catalog Whitney or some Mariah song that I just never heard.
It was pretty bland.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like something where I would have listened to in a high school dance. It's yes. Just it's that familiar.
Backwards skate, ladies' choice, ladies and gentlemen.
Bite me.
Slurpees at the snack bar. please don't miss that. This was pretty sad. But Sam Saides, Jennifer, that took you by surprise, Sam Saides.
It did. It did. Honestly, I just thought, well, I mean, especially, you know, because given Sam's position and everything, I don't know, I just thought they were just friends. And I mean, maybe because I went to senior prom with a friend. I know this is their junior prom, but I don't know. I just, because I guess I'm afraid that they will actually go through all of the 12 Glee Club members.
Possible combinations.
And yes, exactly.
Well, considering that Bi is the new black, there's so many more combinations.
Exactly. So I thought that was kind of obvious. But they seem really sweet together, and I just, I don't know. I was pleasantly surprised.
Ed, how do you feel about Sam Saides?
As organically as I felt that Sam Saides was birthed in the prom queen episode, I felt the exact opposite on his presence today. I was like, why? Like, why are they sneaking around? What? Well, come on. That holding hand wasn't real. I don't believe you. That's pretty much like I believe them in prom queen, but I don't believe them now. I'm like, no.
I don't know. I thought it was fine. It didn't. I thought it was sweet. I mean, I don't think it'll last. they've been talking about giving Mercedes an African-American boyfriend forever. So I certainly don't. They've been saying that about the Glee project.
We don't know. What if Sam is South African American?
Oh, but I mean, they've also been talking about. I mean, they also said before the end of last season that we would meet her dad, who's a dentist. I mean, Quinn was living with her. I mean, like,
yeah,
there were a lot of other things they promised us about Mercedes. So
yeah, it's true.
I mean, it doesn't strike me as implausible as some other relationships in the group. I just think, you know, I just didn't think that they would kind of go with something, I'm not going to say gimmicky because of prom, but I don't know. I'm surprised it actually is going to amount to something. I mean, pleasantly surprised, but I just didn't think it would amount to anything.
Well, they're very cute, and, you know, yeah. I didn't feel quite as, I didn't find it quite as unnatural as Ed, let's say inorganic, like unnatural.
Okay. Well, that's how I felt. I felt like it felt very organic at prom queen, but it felt forced. I was like,
Well, again, because I couldn't determine whether or not he was told by Rachel exactly what Mercedes wanted to hear. And then he did, or if he just innately did that on his own. And I'm starting to think he did it on his own. And I mean, I like it because, I mean, I like, Sam has always come across as a very straightforward character. You know, he's wanted to fit in, but hasn't been, you know, your traditional like social climber or anything like that. Like he hasn't had an angle against anybody. He's just been very straightforward and been himself. And Mercedes just wants to be in the spotlight, you know.
Yeah.
Other than her diva moment, her diva episode. Excuse me, my voice gone. I think that they're both, you know, pretty straightforward characters, and I would like for something good to happen for them.
Sorry, it's so late.
I know. I look over and Josh is like,
we're 3 hours behind Ed, and yet we're the ones that are exhausted.
We got a few years on Ed.
Yeah, there was
he has youth on his side.
Cord had that hilarious line when he was telling Finn to go after Rachel, and he was like, "If I was in love with a girl and in New York and not homeless, I would totally go for it."
Yeah, I thought that was cute.
I mean, I'd love to say that this episode was filled with good one-liners, but it was a little. It was almost too dense to find them. I mean, there were some funny jokes, but it was pretty dense. So yeah. There didn't have a lot of time left for one-liners. But yeah, you know, it's. I guess you know, let's just take a quick run around, I guess, before we wrap up and just say season two. You know, what is your, now that you've had the finale of season two, Jennifer, like what is your immediate, your gut reaction to how the season has played out?
I feel like we've only seen the first half of season two. Like, I feel like the way they split up season one, where they had the, you know, the first, Ed, was it 13?
The first 13, yeah.
Yes, okay. So I feel like we've only done the first 13.
Hmm. Even though we've had like 22 episodes.
Exactly. it feels like it's still out there. And it was, still better than average. I mean, I would give the entire season a B+, A-. But I still kind of feel like, okay, now where's the rest?
Yeah.
Again, it just ended, you know, an hour ago for us. So I'm, you know, I might feel differently in the morning.
Actually, somebody just brought up a really good point, which I'm going to come back to. Ed, immediate reaction of season two.
My immediate reaction is like certain episodes. I would say the whole season is like how I kind of described this episode. It all was, all the elements were there. And there were some great moments along the way, but it wasn't magical. Nothing has ever been as tight and as great as the first 13 episodes of the first season and the first season as a whole.
Yeah.
Like even the back nine were really strong. And they hit it all right, and maybe it's because we kind of know what to expect, and we're an audience that we get it, and then we're like okay, now what's the next great thing? we're not very good with settling as an audience anymore. And you blame that on Twitter or Facebook if you want, but it's the fact of life. So they took it somewhere, but in the end, it was just the season was just okay.
Yeah, okay. I think that,
great moments, but all the elements, but it wasn't amazing.
I keep thinking of, I keep thinking of other shows' second seasons and how it is kind of famous that your second season is a bit of a slump, because your first season, your first season, you're braving all new ground. You know, you're just filled with joy and promise and magic, and everything you do is original. And then when you get to the second season, you're kind of like, okay, how do we do what we did in the first season, but keep it going, you know? And there's always that worry. They say that in the writer's room in the second season, your biggest concern is that the second season is when it starts to set in that you could be doing this forever. And so I've heard people talk about the writer's room on the second season being like, okay, the first season we were just happy to be here. We were just writing for the sky. And now we're realizing, wait, we might have to do this forever, so we can't use every idea we have in every episode. I think that's kind of how I felt about the second season. Like the second season of Lost was everybody kind of going, oh crap, where are we now? And that's kind of how I felt about this one too. A lot of inward looking, a lot of like, you know, the episodes covering a lot less ground than they used to. Just kind of spending entire episodes and then coming out of it not really feeling like we accomplished anything or furthered anything.
So you feel like the writers are deliberately holding back?
I don't know if they're doing it deliberately, or I don't know if they're doing it consciously. Let me put it like
but,
that.
But you think on some level they are holding back?
I do. I feel like watching the show, because either they're holding back or they're out of ideas, and I don't think they're out of ideas.
I think it's more that they're holding back. I think they see how it's going to end, and they don't want to do anything to ruin that. So they're like, oh well, what can we do to move the chess pieces around without losing any of them?
Exactly. You're exactly right. It's one of those things where like okay, you never know. You don't know how long this show is going to go on. Like some shows, when they start, they say, we're going to do this for 5 years and then we're going to stop. Like Lost, love it or hate it, it got exponentially better as soon as the network said, you get two more seasons. And then the writers are like, okay, now we have a target. Now we just have to figure out how to line up for that.
And now they could actually work towards that endpoint without just constantly shuffling.
Like, exactly.
Without losing any pawns, I'm like, whatever.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. That's what it becomes, is you have to shuffle all the pieces, but you can't kill anybody, you know, like, even though they did. So you don't want to make anything, you don't want to have any of the characters do anything they can't take back. That's how I feel about this season. There you go. That's my summation of this season in this moment, is I feel like it was a bunch of characters doing things, but they never did anything they couldn't take back.
That I completely agree. I don't know. I thought in our post Lady Gaga society, there's one piece of advice that she has said that has stuck with me for quite some time. And she said, you should always put your best foot forward, because by the time you need to take another step, you'll have come up with a better idea. So
yeah, I mean, honestly, the way shows kind of come and go now, like shows barely get a chance before they get yanked. I understand the first season, they had this idea. It was different from anything else out there. They probably didn't know how long it was going to last. So they threw down everything.
Yeah, you swing for the fences and you
why not? Why can't they?
Yeah.
Why can't they continue
swinging for the fences all the time? I mean, if that's what made the first season magical, and that's why, that's what the season two was lacking, then swing for the fences.
Maybe.
Do it.
Maybe they thought they were, and or maybe, I mean, if you think about
I think at times there were
moments that they were trying to be so socially conscious and so topical and just very much in the moment that I think that each time they did that, it kind of took them like maybe slightly off course or off focus. So I think instead of being anything, instead of having like one great thing to build up to, it was sort of like a lot of, you know, as we all agree, there were a lot of great moments, but just nothing so magical and special. And it's like, and in a way, they could never, ever recapture what we got last year, because it was the first time we'd seen it. It was, yeah, it was all so fresh and magical last year for us. And now it's, you know, it's like a relationship. You know, the first 6 months are amazing, you know? And it's like, you
what concerns me more is that I know that these characters are going to be on at least season 4 and potentially season 5. Mm-hmm. And that discourages me. Because there's a part of me that wishes that I knew that these characters were ending season 3. So that way I know that this season 2 of just like shuffling without anything actually happening was actually leading up to something at the end of season 3. But since we know they're going to be back in season 4, it's like, well, it's just going to be more stalling.
Yeah.
And more nothing happening. I think that they should just work towards the end that they planned.
Yeah.
And then when they get there, I'm sure whatever the natural organic fallout from whatever they intended on happening, like whatever organically would happen after that, I'm sure they can come up with even better, or at least another ending that they can work towards next too.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. End of thought. Period.
I agree with you, because I think that at the end of the day, when you take a step back at like the business of television, I don't think that Lea Michele's going to want to do this show for more than 4 years. I think that she's going to start. Yeah, Jennifer's like 3 years.
I'm holding up three fingers.
She is the toast of LA right now. She can do anything she wants. She's going to want to move on. I think that, you know, well, Corey probably doesn't have a lot. He doesn't seem to have a lot else going on. But people are definitely calling Diana Agron like crazy.
Corey's,
you know,
his band. He's
Matthew
doing
Morrison
other stuff.
Would much rather be on tour with his band, I would think. And so there is. These organic endings are going to come, and I'd like to see them just happen. There's not a lot of shows that can maintain the same, you know, that really should be on the air longer than 4 years. At the end of the day, your favorite show would have been better if it ended after 4 years.
Like with the society that we're so fast moving, if they're not going to be throwing down the gauntlet every time.
Yeah.
Then they should just get kicked off the show.
Then I got other shows to watch.
I know exactly. Like they're up and comers. Game of Thrones. Like these people, these things are taking their place. Smash is hot on their heels. I mean, I don't know if I'm really gonna watch it. I do like Catherine McPhee, but whatever. And I know they're talking about at least spinoff. Like, if they are not gonna throw down the gauntlet, they need to just get out the way. So throw down, throw down, BF.
Move. Get out the way. One last thing to discuss before we go. Someone mentioned or reminded us, a couple people reminded us of Kurt and Blaine's I Love You at the end of the episode. Now, when Blaine said I love you, Blaine said I love you. But when Kurt said I love you, I sensed drama behind that. Jennifer, how did you feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he genuinely loves and cares for Blaine, but I don't think he's in love with Blaine anymore. Like, I think that, you know, so much else has happened to him. As he said, it's been an amazing year and lots of great things, but I just, yeah, it was so awkward. It was very, very uncomfortable.
Ed, did you notice anything there?
I noticed like a pause, but maybe it was just like, I thought it was such like a foregone conclusion that they were in love. That's what I ran. Like, oh, like they didn't actually need to say it. Of course, saying it does matter, but I thought like, that's what my interpretation was, that it was like such a foregone conclusion that they were in love, that it was like, oh yes, we are in love. Yes.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, like at first I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, Kurt was a little surprised that he said it like that then and there. But then I was like, no, there was something in Kurt's eyes. It was just like, oh, crap. I can't say it with the same sort of affection in my eyes that he's saying it.
Sincerity.
Yeah,
he did lack a little sincerity, but maybe thrown back, but maybe this is a sign of things to come.
Not really, because honestly, when Blaine has, you know, reciprocated feelings or shown, expressed his feelings to Kurt, and when he's been pleasantly surprised, you can tell. He grins like a, you know, like a little schoolgirl and kind of blushes a little, and then, you know, reciprocates. But this time it was sort of like, oh, okay, love you too.
Yeah, it felt a little odd, distracted.
Maybe he got, you know, Rachel fever and realizes he should be in New York as well.
Like, I need to, that's what I was thinking, except that he'd already talked about it with Blaine and they were going to move together. Yeah. But my thinking was, yeah, that he got some kind of Rachel fever. But yeah, well, you know, I think we'll go out on Light Up the World. But if you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find the website, which is at www.gleefulpodcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. I'm at High Tech Elvis. She's at Jenny B. Creative. He's at Edward Diodano. And you can find us on Facebook. Buy the t-shirt. The t-shirts
They're
are here.
Stock.
They're going to get shipped out tomorrow to everyone who already bought one. If you did, you're awesome.
And if it's going to Germany, we have no idea how long it'll take to get there.
Yes, but it's on its way. Yeah, we actually got orders from Germany, Britain, and Australia. So that's crazy. So that's super cool.
We might fly him to Boston, ship him from there, so it's less time. Yeah. I don't know.
but so that's pretty awesome. Ed, do you want to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, CStone 1978, Pandora 67, Blind Ace, Diana Carrizo, Mbiftu, Abster 47, Alejandro Halguen, ASL Goofy, Greek Geek 26. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes. It's fantastic.
Yes, and we want to thank like everybody who joined us tonight for chat. There at one point there was 55 of them. Yes, the auto-tuning on this song was horrible. Which was funny because they were supposedly singing live and Corey was totally auto-tuned, like distracting the auto-tune.
And Brittany too, and even Artie.
Yeah, it was weird.
And maybe that was just to make him more in sync with everybody else, but we'll have I was to like, do, even Artie, I was like, really?
We'll have to do an in-depth, we'll listen to all these songs next week when we kind of do the last three episode discussion. But yes, so all that great stuff. Yes, we want to thank everybody who's joined us in the chat. Thank you so much for that. On Twitter, Facebook, the emails. I'm trying to think of other things.
Seriously, everybody, thank you for coming out tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It's so late.
I'm barely staying awake right now. This is awesome.
Yeah, totally. They seem more awake than we are. Ed's more awake than we are.
We're I know, right? So I'm like, what are you?
For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Inan, and I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except for the cyclone strike. Peace out, Oakley Jazz Hands.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Or good morning.
Yes.
Jackson, 2009.